Christmas artist, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Jamie R.H. is a Te Whanganui a Tata Wellington-based artist and curator, primarily working within spaces of language to produce site-specific artworks that both draw from and speak to her familial histories within Te Matua Maui, Hawke's Bay. Her current exhibition, E Runga o Ngā Puke, Travels Over Feeling, showcases a durational language-based artwork presented through a wall-mounted LED sign, displaying a stunning presentation of language in an act of constant movement. An unfolding of text that does not seek closure but instead seeks to withhold it, dazzling viewers with small glimpses of language that flow into fragmented rivers of stories. The LED sign embodying this role as an actor of sorts, in a state of a continuous performance of language, time, and movement. I caught up with Jamie about the show and overall practice. Here it is now.
Kia ora, my name is Jamie R.H. I am an artist and facilitator based in Te Whanganui o Tata, Wellington. So I focus mostly on language-based artworks that are typically site-specific, but they also tend to encompass a lot of familial histories relating to where I'm from, Te Matua Maui, Hawke's Bay.
Wonderful. And I would like to start this conversation by speaking to the kind of beginnings of your current show on At Window Gallery, E Runga o Ngā Puke, Travels Over Feeling, which showcases a durational language-based work presented through a wall-mounted LED. How did this specific project gain its initial momentum? Did it kind of come off the back of another project or find its footing with something new?
Definitely is part of a continuous series of projects that I've been working on for the past couple of years. The use of LED signs in gallery spaces and public spaces is something I've been working on since 2022. I tend to return at least to LED signs as a base form of using written language in my practice, mostly because of the fact that they are innately designed for these very short duration kind of information being passed very quickly. But I like to try and push the sign itself to its absolute limits in trying to get longer form information and language through those signs. The focus of the sign's work itself, the performance of the sign, is, I would say, a conclusion of about a years-long research-based project around stories from Northern Hawke's Bay in relation to waterways and how riverways throughout where I'm from are changing quite dramatically due to climate change, but also are already changed structures from post-colonization. I find that the river is also a really fantastic metaphor in terms of how emotions can erupt or be swept away. I find it's a really fertile place to kind of explore themes of interconnectivity and travel.
Wonderful. So you've been, this is kind of building up a vocabulary of you working with these LED signage. You've already kind of briefly talked about it, these LED signage, kind of, they're more like typical applications in kind of everyday life. But like a bit more in-depthly, what interests you into kind of the LEDs, like, inherent material qualities? Like, what kind of, like, oh, like, I really want to work with this in relation to my art practice?
I really like how LEDs, the longer you look at them, they almost burn your eyes.
Yeah.
They're a very hostile agent to be transmitting information. I quite like that. I'm attracted to how the longer you want to stay there and try and capture all the information that these works are putting out, the more you become aware of your own body and how your eyes start to hurt, your sight gets a bit blurry. It's I'm quite enamored by works that are a little bit aggressive or passive aggressive to the audience. I like to imagine, even though I'm writing the works and putting them into the sign, I like to imagine the sign as an actor that's reading my script, and that oftentimes LED signs are quite simple technology, and that they tend to disintegrate a bit or break down often. And so there are periods of times where I'll be having the sign recite long passages of text and things will glitch out. I like to kind of interpret them as the sign as its own agent acting out against what it's been told to do. I see the sign, especially the LED sign, as a really at times hostile and difficult agent to work with, but the nature of its design means you want to look at it. It's attention grabbing. And so to try and utilize those aspects to then turn it on its head and make it very difficult to look at for long readings, so to speak, is something I'm quite fascinated by.
Yeah, and because signage is normally, in our everyday life, walking past shops and advertising meant for quite like that, that walker kind of walking through the street. But the text that you use within your work, I wanted to delve a bit more into the text itself. Can you speak a bit to the process of crafting these moments of language within the piece? Are you writing them as these like whole bodies of text with the fragmentation in mind?
I would say the fragmentation happens, without me meaning, fragmentation is something that I don't aim for, but I think the fact that I would say I'm not a trained writer is something that kind of happens out of perhaps an inexperience with writing as a long form. I would say that I have used, specifically in Irunga o Napuke, a very vignette style way of building a narrative. I was quite interested in building a narrative that doesn't have an obvious arc to it. It's something that chops and changes quite quickly. I would say it's also very much influenced by the way that I research, which is very chaotic. I would be collecting phrases or portions of waiata or motiatia whilst researching a lot around the rivers that are kind of the narrative base for the work. And these would kind of be interjecting the English portions of the work. And I found that to kind of be almost like the direct voice of the river, which the English portions are trying to write about or pin down. I found that was a theme throughout the writing itself that emerged without me meaning it for it to, but definitely referenced a lot of the historic relationships that people have had with waterways and Hawke's Bay and throughout New Zealand. So there was definitely a lot of vignette style, which came from referencing writing from the past year, writing from years ago, whilst visiting the sites that I'd be writing and researching. So it was this structure temporally, which would always relate to place, that was spanning out multiple timelines. That would be not just in a temporal sense, but also in how these landscapes have been experienced. So then there was the additional aspects of understanding the river through visiting the rivers, but then also going through archives relating to the rivers, going through Waitangi tribunal claim reports of the rivers. So there's these layerings of understanding the waterways and how the waterway itself becomes this thing that's not just water.
Beautiful. And with this continuous motion of language within the piece, what do you feel as though the motion and unfolding of the text does to the text itself, as well as how this display of text might shift a viewer's perception of how we might encounter or understand language?
I think the fact that the placement of the sign in what is essentially a foyer where people are just walking past, I find that really quite fascinating, and it was a big reason why I really wanted to put this kind of work in Window Gallery. I think on instinct, a lot of people want to wait out the loop, the scroll of the text, to try and seek some kind of closure from the work itself. But the physical pain of staring at a, you know, an LED screen up close whilst it's scrolling for about 10 minutes or so in one full loop, It withholds closure.
Mm.
So the structure of it, of the writing itself, is also structured to be loop based. It chops and changes, so it's it resists one singular interpretation, which I think you can kind of instinctively want from a written work. But the fact that most people realistically will encounter the work while crossing through that foyer, through that space, not stopping to stay. To me, the glances of a handful of words or a phrase of a waiata is kind of the, in my opinion, the ideal experience of it. I would like people to, especially if they're students at the university there, pass through and see these, you know, fragments of the work, and slowly through their own interpretation or their own interaction, which is out of loop with the work itself, slowly begin to have their own amalgamation of what the meanings or, impressions of the work are.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful location. It's I kind of think of Window Gallery, it's in this kind of threshold space between like that outside and then this kind of large housing of language and text, which I think works in so lovely with your work, and also has this really inherent quality of those people passing through it constantly and each encountering your piece at those little moments, and having those different interactions compared to everyone else. There's not like one singular mode of encountering the piece, which I think is really lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, I really love the space. I kind of had a really buzzy moment when we were installing, and I kept looking across the foyer to the huge work by Ayesha Green, which I was really lucky to see in its original exhibition in Hastings City Art Gallery when I was back home, which is a depiction of students at the Hokarere Girls College, which was a work, an entire exhibition about the history of that Māori girls' school, which is based by Esk Valley River, which is part of the waterway that I was researching for a year, as me and Ayesha Green are both Ngāti Kahununu. It felt like a really full circle moment to have the work kind of across from a fantastic artist who's been making beautiful art about stories that originate from Te Matua Māori as well. And yeah, I think it's really beautiful that the two of them are facing each other.
Yeah.
I like to imagine that they're having a conversation. Yeah, it was really amazing to have that opportunity to have those two works in tandem with each other.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So many dialogues taking place in that space between you and Aisha's work and the students. Such a lovely liminal space. And I also wanted to talk about the inclusion of imagery within your piece, imagery being the horse in motion that seems to be running through the language but can't quite keep up. The language seems to be moving beyond the horse in some way. Do you want to speak a little bit to the inclusion of the horse within the piece?
Absolutely. So the horse has been a frequent visitor of my LED-based installations for the past couple of years. I think you hit the nail on the head around the tension of the character of the horse versus the language that it is either racing or escaping or in competition with, perhaps. I think on a surface level, I think it creates a great rhythmic quality to experiencing the work, which I quite enjoy. But then I had quite a large portion of original drafts of Eronga Unapuke, which talked about the role of horses in land cultivation, but also the role of horses in decolonial, decolonial efforts. But it was something that didn't quite make the final cut, I suppose. I wanted to keep the text very tightly bound to rivers in this particular work, but the work itself emerged beside the character of horses. And I think horses, obviously in poetics, as a classic metaphor around freedom and desire. And I guess I couldn't resist having something that kind of captured those themes kind of strumming through the whole work. I find that people often do ask me about the horse, and I never really have a succinct answer for it. It's something that I think is it's a habitual inclusion. It's almost like a talisman for me whenever I'm using my own writing, especially. I think it helps me feel a bit braver in sharing my work, as even though I'm, even though I've exhibited with LED signs so much now, you always feel a little bit nervous. But there's something about having a companion in the in the wild horse, which I think inspires me a bit to, you know, just get the words out there.
Yeah. Oh, nice. A little guiding horse.
Yeah.
And lastly, what are your overall hopes for viewers encountering your show?
I would say I hope viewers are ambiently annoyed at having to wait to read a full sentence. I hope they are entertained by the little horse prancing around. I hope that they are moved to feel something in a new way, as any artist would hope for. And I also hope that anyone who also has whakapapa to the rivers that have been such an inspiration for me for the past year also, you know, see those rivers too. Or perhaps if they have whakapapa to any river throughout the motu, they feel the same kind of mana and pride and in knowing those rivers and loving those rivers.
That was Jamie R.H. speaking to me about her current exhibition on at Window Gallery, Eronga o Ngā Puke, Travels Over Feeling, which is on until the 11th of Feb. So be sure to go check that out.